today is just kind of a standalone message, and this is something, this topic is something I was thinking about for a little bit about, you know, there's all kinds of questions about, you know, what's the purpose of the church, just in general, you know, what's the church about, what's it supposed to be doing, and it kind of just depends on what your particular experience is in church. Now, when I first became a Christian, I was with these group of people over here on the left. I'm not in that picture anywhere, but actually my brother-in-law is. I don't know if I can, he's like right up in there somewhere. He looks like a geek. Anyway, I can say that because he's preaching elsewhere in West Virginia today. But anyway, this group of people, my experience in church was, you know, this was kind of like after, towards the tail end of what people call the Jesus movement. Okay, I wasn't a hippie, but if you were kind of a hippie, you would have loved to be with our group of people, okay, or hippie-ish, okay? And so we hung out a lot together, and actually, even after all these years, you see in the upper right-hand corner there, there's a guy named George Seebeck. He's playing songs. This is at one of our Faith Walkers conferences, and they're all scripture songs, songs put to scripture. And so I cut my teeth as a Christian, so to speak, on scripture songs. And so a lot of scripture I've memorized comes from those songs. And so that was my experience as a new believer. And as you can see here in the lower right there, we've got the Roys and some others there in the background at one of our conferences. And that is kind of a thing too in our can I say tribe of churches, right? Great Commission. It, you know, they have conferences. I know other churches have conferences, and the conferences are usually to try to get us focused in on the main things, you know, the essentials and so on. And so so I'm just kind of showing you this here to say that I know that we all have different experiences when it comes to church. And maybe our ideas about what the church is supposed to be about and become are different and maybe off or wrong or misguided. And by no means was this group of people perfect and didn't have it all right all the time. But what we're going to do this morning is we're actually going to look at a passage of Scripture that really brings to light at least the essentials, I think, the essentials. And that's why this message is called Church Essentials. So let's pray together and let's ask God for His help as we get into the Word today, okay? Heavenly Father, we just recognize that apart from You, we can do nothing. And that even means just right here, right now, in the hearing of Your Word. We just can do nothing. We need Your help to hear it. We need Your help to apply it. We need Your help to understand it. And Laura, we're asking right now for that help. And pray that You'd fill us and that You would make us attentive to Your Spirit and what You want to do in our hearts, Lord. And so, Lord, it's with anticipation we say, Lord, hear our prayer and answer it, Lord, now. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a while since we've done this, but if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, would you do that? Let's stand and let's read this passage together. It's a rather short passage here, and so sometimes as a tradition in our church, we will read this aloud together, and so kind of, you know, reiterating what Paul told Timothy is to give attention to the public reading of Scripture, okay? So let's say this verse aloud together. Here we go. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. This is God's Word. Please have a seat. A little bit of a context here before we get into this, because we're jumping into a book of the Bible. Boy, the book of Acts, you know, is a book of action, right? There is so much going on. A lot of new things are happening. In fact, if you back up in the book of Acts from where we just were, you will see in just the first couple of chapters there that this first century church, right, that the Holy Spirit was poured out on God's people, right, and some amazing things were happening there. I don't think I really, for some reason, did not make this connection, but I knew that they were before this celebrating the Passover, and now they're celebrating this festival of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover. All right, and I just thought, isn't this just so cool how God, and they would have been gathering all these people from all over to Jerusalem. He's bringing all these people from all these places together, and he pours out his Spirit and does all these amazing things, right? And just think about that. What a great plan, right? Any better than anything that we could have come up with, bringing them all together, and then they're all going to go back to their towns. And they're going to tell everything that they saw and everything that they heard and what God had done in their lives. And so just some amazing things were happening, right? And then also what was happening is after the outpouring of God's Spirit on his people, then Peter was preaching the gospel, right? And in response to the message of the gospel, 3,000 people in one day give their lives to Jesus. I mean, that is just fascinating, amazing, and it's no wonder that it says here that the people were in awe, right? All of all that God was doing. And so they saw these amazing things happening. Lives were being transformed literally before their very eyes. 3,000 people, you know, were added to the church there in one day. That is amazing. And so it's in that context that we're dropped into this. Now, I want to just give a word of caution, because it's easy to kind of over-romanticize the first century church. I think we kind of think they were just perfect, you know. We just need to be more like them. And yes, there's definitely some things, and we're going to look at those things that I think are mentioned in this passage to model, but they were by no means perfect, okay? This first century church in which all these things were happening, okay? Just read on a few chapters. Hypocrisy, erroneous doctrine starting to creep in, just sinful human beings, okay? And so I just want to say that, because I think sometimes we just have this rose-colored glasses when it comes to the first century church, okay? No, they were like us. Okay, yeah, different time, different place, but they were like us. Okay, and actually, that gives me hope. I think, wow, okay, they're as screwed up as I am internally here, you know, then there's hope for me, and there's hope for our church, hope for all of us, and that God uses, like we actually sang about, jars of clay, right? Weak vessels that God uses for his glory, right? So this is the context that we drop into this on, right? All these amazing things are happening. But let's take a look here. Let's kind of zoom in on the passage and see what the church needs to be. As we talk about church essentials, what we're really saying is, what does it need to be? And the first thing that pops out here is just that the church needs to be a learning church. A learning church. You know, as it says there, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, before we hit more on the learning aspect, just think about that. It says they devoted themselves. And that particular word really is focusing in on the aspect of persisting in something, remaining and holding fast to something. All right, so the things that we're going to look at, there's four things, four characteristics of a healthy church that are mentioned in here. All these things need to be persisted in. It's going to take constant effort. In other words, it's not going to be like, oh, I tried one time, woohoo, got that down, on to the next thing. No, it's going to be something, these four things will be something that every church has to continually bring before themselves, to continually make sure that one of the four things is just not overriding the others, that we're not just focused on learning, right? There's other things that the church needs to be about. Okay, but we need to make sure that we are a learning church, right? As it says here, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? And so you had the apostles going around, right, giving messages, and they were gathering together often to hear their teaching. And so, you know, a lot of times what we need to do is say, well, how does this apply to us, right? We don't have the 12 apostles running around here. How can we dedicate ourselves to the teaching of the 12 apostles, okay? Because, as my understanding, there is no such thing as an apostle today in the sense that the 12 apostles were apostles, okay? Some people might argue that there's some kind of an apostolic gifting, okay, but not with the kind of authority and that sort of thing that these original 12 had. So if we don't have those apostles, how can we devote ourselves to their teaching? We can't go hear them, right? Well, and you probably figured it out, is that we have their writings, right? We have the New Testament, right? The bulk of that New Testament really is, those are those apostles' teachings. And so really, if we're going to apply this, right, to us today, to our church, we need to say, am I really committed, devoted to learning what the apostles taught? And not just learning about it, but putting it into practice. Like, how do those things that they taught apply to my life? And sometimes, you know, whenever we're reading a passage of Scripture, there's not always something for us to do. Sometimes there's just something for us to believe, right? We're taught about a truth about God. So it says we need to believe it, you know? Sometimes there are commands, right? Things for us to do or things to not do, that kind of thing. But we need to be students, right? I see we have some students back here from on their college break, right? And I tell you what, there's no better feeling on the day when the last time I walked up to the podium to get my degree and say, no more exams, right? And some of you just want to say hallelujah, right? I know, because I know that's the greatest feeling. No more tests, no more exams, right? That doesn't mean no more learning, right? Because as a Christian, right, as a follower of Jesus, we need to be hungry to learn, right? And also, I might say this, you know, there's not a Christian around that doesn't come to the Scriptures with their own set of lenses, okay? Their own background experiences and all that. And we need to make sure, we need to ask God to help us to kind of keep our lenses in check, right? Because we just need to be open to the fact that we could be wrong on some things. We need to make sure that we're really reading the Scriptures honestly and openly to what God has to say. So, you know, think about this. Do you have a learner's heart? When we come together, whether it's here or in a Bible study that you're in, a small group, or just even in your own time with God, do you say, Lord, teach me? You know, help me to just have a learner's heart, right? And again, not just for information, but for transformation. But you can't be transformed by what you don't know, right? So there really is a study aspect to being a vibrant Christian. You have to study the Word of God. You have to learn how to study it, right? It's something that we are learning. And I find this fascinating, too. These guys saw the Holy Spirit come in power, right? But the way God works it is, okay, we're not just left to the Holy Spirit to teach us everything, right? We need people to teach us. God has laid it out. We have His teaching. We have the Scriptures, right? Because you'll hear some people say, I only just need me and the Holy Spirit, okay? I just, me and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and that's all we need. Well, no, you would be wrong, okay? He wants us to be learners, and one of the places we do that, and we see this throughout Scripture, is by gathering, right? Hearing the Word of God, and then saying, Lord, teach us, right? Right, so I come not as one in authority, like over your life in terms of the what I say is Scripture. No, we're just looking at the Scripture together and saying, it is the authority over our life, okay? The church is not over the Scripture. You get that? This is important. The Scripture is over the church. That's the difference, isn't it? Right, we see, because we submit ourselves to what the Bible says, and we have to really work hard to make sure that we're interpreting it properly. Right? And so, we can study and we can learn from and live out the apostles' teaching as it's written in the New Testament. A scripture that was, I think Doug mentioned a couple weeks ago, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by God. Do you believe that? Okay, we do at Darby Creek. And because it's important to realize that this is not just somebody's opinion on paper. What those verses are saying is the very words of God. Yes, God moved upon men's hearts and on their minds, but the very words that they put down there are God's word. He used their unique personalities, the time in which they were born, so that, you know, he didn't override their personalities. It wasn't like God was whispering in their ear and they were dictating. I don't think that happened. He just used all that uniqueness and the Holy Spirit, you know, when he came upon them and they were writing, they're using everything that God has given them, but it's actually God's words. Okay, and we believe that here. That's what this verse is saying. All scripture is breathed out by God. Okay, so that we're not to say, well, you know, we're not worried about being carried along by some guy's opinions. No, this is the word of God. Now, you may challenge that. You may say, I don't believe that. But I'll say, you know, there's a lot of great... I would encourage you to... I would challenge that and say, let me turn you on to some resources to see that, you know, the New Testament really has some great support for the fact that what we have in our hands today is a great copy of the Bible. A great copy of God's word. And so if you're kind of questioning all that, I'd say, you know what? You need to push into that and to learn more about it. And there are some great resources I'd be happy to turn you on to for that. Let me just end this point here by saying this. The Spirit of God leads the people of God to honor the word of God. Okay? The Spirit of God leads the people of God to honor the word of God. And the word of God needs to be honored in our lives. How do you know if you're honoring the word of God in your life? Anybody? Shout it out. Class is open now. Spend time in the Word, right? Because I would care what it says if I'm honoring it in my life, right? Do I make decisions? Before I make decisions, do I consider, I wonder if the Word of God has something to say about this, right? That's another indicator that I'm honoring the Word of God in my life, right? I mean, these are just things to think about, you know, indicators, you know? When's the last time you thought about the Word of God, and you living it out, right? So this is what a church needs to be, a learning church. Now next, we see in the passage here, a caring church, right? It says here, and they devoted themselves to the fellowship, it says, the fellowship. And then that was in verse 42, but in verses 44 and 45, we see some of that fellowship demonstrated. It says, all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Well, this word for fellowship, right, koinonia, it refers to our common life together in Jesus, our common life that we have together. Now, there's a couple of aspects, I think, to this commonality, okay? There's a spiritual aspect that everybody that's a believer in Jesus, we share a mutual thing spiritually, many mutual things spiritually in Jesus Christ, right? All the spiritual blessings that come with being in Christ or being a believer, we share together, okay? We have the Holy Spirit, right? We share forgiveness in Christ. We share the power that he gives us in our daily life. These are things we share together. We have that in common, okay? And so, you know, that's the great thing, I think, about, you know, believers from all walks of life and all different countries, right? We can actually come together, even though the forms of worship might be different. We have these things in common. And this always just amazes me when we go on our missions trip to Nicaragua, or we get to see those guys and hang out with the pastors and the other families there. It's like we are brothers and sisters. We are a family, right? Even though they live so far away, and it's because of the fellowship that we have. Okay, so there's a spiritual aspect to that. But really, in this passage, what he's talking about, this fellowship being expressed in the common things that we share in our life together physically, they were meeting one another's needs, okay? They saw a brother or sister in Christ in need, because, you know, just like we have today, we have some people, they make more money than others, right? There are some financial needs and some physical needs, the clothing and food and all that, right? And so those that had, right, that had an abundance were able to share with those that had need. And by the way, this was not like in like forced. These people freely gave, okay? It wasn't some kind of a system that was imposed upon them. They, you know, the Holy Spirit gave them a tenderness, right? It's almost like, you know, the Holy Spirit in some ways, you know, and this is just me here, but it's like when we're sensitive to it, we have these little antennas that go up, so to speak, and we can see needs, right? And when we become aware of needs, sometimes we just want to meet them, right? Now, granted, you know, you can't do that with everybody, right? But we need to be attentive to that, right? We need to be attentive to that. And so, and this morning, I think we have a great opportunity to kind of show how God works that out in the body of Christ, okay? And so, actually, I'm going to have Julie Royce come up here for a second. I just heard her say she knew this was coming, but so who told? Okay, no, that's good. So what's happening here is, so there were some ladies in the church that felt led by God to make some quilts for your family. And some of you here don't know what's going on, but Mark, who's not, wasn't able to be here today, but Mark, a little over a year ago, was diagnosed with brain cancer, and quite the ride since then, to say the least. But amazingly, it seems like God has really done an amazing thing with the tumor, and they can't really see any actively growing cancer cells there anymore. Really amazing. We praise God for that. Yeah. So seeing improvements all the time of recovering and everything. So anyway, I just thought, you know, I didn't know whether to do this at the end of the day, but I thought, here we are talking about fellowship and the body ministering, and I just thought, well, we're just gonna give you these quilts today, but this is people like responding to the Holy Spirit and just caring for you guys. And so there's a couple of quilts, all right? One of them has pictures sewn into them, all right? And then the other one has, as many families as could, put their names, their family name, and a scripture reference for you guys. So there you go, okay? Yeah, you can do that. That's fine.
Can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, here, please do. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know I was getting these, but I just, as he was talking, I just was thinking over the past year and how this church has really stepped up and met our needs. And we've been blessed beyond measure by all the cards, the texts, the dinners, the work on our car, or the work on our house, just everything that people have done for us, and it's been wonderful. And the reason Mark's not here today is not because he's doing badly, but because we went to the zoo last night and he walked around so much that he kind of tired himself out, so he needs to rest some. And the reason I can be here and I'm not worried about him being at home is because he's been doing really well. So just thank you all. This really is a blessed body of Christ and a wonderful church. And I just thank you all very much.
God bless you. Yeah. All right. So, you know, and that really is indicative of, you know, that's kind of one sampling of the love expressed in many different ways and not always publicly, but behind the scenes. And so you guys should be encouraged, right? And we're not perfect in this. Right, we don't meet every need at all the time, but I tell you, I'm so thankful that you guys, as a church, are just so. You demonstrate this, right? And yeah, sure, we can pull the Paul thing and say excel still more, and we should, but you know, be thankful, right? Be thankful for that. That's you should be encouraged. That's a sign of the Spirit working in your life and in this church. So. We praise God for that. So this generosity, you know, that was demonstrated by these believers in the first century, I think it's just an indicator of the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, when you realize how much Jesus Christ has done for you, you just want to just bless people, okay? And not just with the message of the gospel, which you do, but also just with, you want to be, in a sense, be Jesus' hands and feet. You want to help people. You want to serve people. You want to love on them, right? And which, you know, Jesus was just the ultimate example of that, right? And so generosity is really, think about this. Generosity is really the antidote to materialism. We've said this before. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said, it says, and he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Boy, what a good reminder. My life is not about what I have. My life is not how much I have compared to somebody else. You know, first and foremost, my life is in Jesus and what he's blessed me with. That's my life, right? The people around me, the relationships, right? And so that really is, you know, that generosity is a key characteristic of a healthy church. And I might say this too, the stronger the vertical relationship with God, the stronger the vertical relationship with God is that you have, the more you will want to be in horizontal fellowship with each other, okay? And they kind of work off each other, because the more I'm with my brothers and sisters in Jesus who are loving God and following hard after him, the more I want to have a relationship with God like they have. It works both ways, okay? And so this fellowship, a caring church, is something that we need to kind of make sure that we keep at the forefront, right? Not just a learning church, but a caring church. And then we move on to this other characteristic here, where it's a worshiping church. We see there in the book of Acts in 2:42 and also verse 46. And what are we getting worshiping from here? Well, it says here in 2:42, and part of it says, and they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and the prayers. To the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, no, it's very likely that the breaking of bread was a reference to the Lord's Supper, okay? Usually accompanied with a meal. I mean, that's what you see when you see the Lord with his disciples, and you see that first century church there. They're having a meal together, and then they remember the Lord through communion, like we just did. So I don't know what background you come from in church, but you know, communion is synonymous with the Lord's Supper, okay? And now breaking of bread, okay? So they'd have a meal together, and they would then usually remember the Lord through communion, okay? So that's an aspect of worship, isn't it? That's an aspect of worship, communion, right? And then the prayers, certainly, you know, connecting with God through prayer, not just individually, but together, right? You see the church gathered together for prayer. In fact, one of my favorite passages is in the book of Acts, right, when they're praying for one of their brothers to be released from prison, and then he shows up at their door, and they're like, what, you know, what are you talking about, you know, and they're like so amazed, you know, it's almost like God, and I love that too, because, you know, God answered the prayer even though they probably doubted. That's so cool, right, that we don't have to have it like all the word I'm thinking of is unction, right, right, the strength of faith to want something so bad, right? And sometimes we're lacking in that. But if our faith is in God, not in our faith, that's all we need. Amen? That's what we need. That's what we need. And that's what they had, their prayer lives. And so, and we see that too. They're mentioned in verse 46, right? Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. I think this is, they didn't just like punt on the institutional church, okay, so to speak, right? They still went to temple. You know, this is probably the temple courts, especially when they're all together for this massive festival. They'd be out in the court of the Gentiles, whatever, because there's so many people, right? And so they gathered together in large gatherings, but they also gathered together to worship in homes. They broke bread in homes, right? So, and that is one of the things I think we need to just remember that, you know, that it's not just about us all getting together, but also, you know, we get together in all kinds of ways, in small groups and in coffee shops and this and that we're fellowshipping and also worshiping together in those different types of places, okay? And that's critical. So the worship was formal and it was informal. It was like formal, like they had an actual meeting here, and then they just, you know, it kind of reminds me. So, for example, sometimes I'll go to these conferences that was mentioned, like the Faith Walkers, or some of you guys, when you've gone to the high schoolers have gone to high school leadership training, LT, or life training, whatever, and just spontaneous, oh, there's five people over there playing the guitar and worshiping God. I'm like, whoa, you know, people over here praying for somebody. And it's just, you know, worship happening and all over the place. It's not formal. It's just spontaneous, and that's fine. That's fine. And so, I do believe that some of that definitely does happen in our small groups. So, a worshiping church, that we need to never not be a worshiping church. This is critical, right? That it's about Jesus, right? It's about God, and He is the center of everything that we should be doing. And the last characteristic we want to talk about here is just that a church needs to be a gospel sharing church, a gospel sharing church. Now, again, I want to reiterate the fact that the verse started off, Acts 2:42, start off, it says, and they devoted themselves. Remember, we have to persist in these things. We have to continually try to fight to keep them at the front burner, so to speak. These are church essentials, all right? And so gospel sharing is one of them. In Acts 2:47, it says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Right? And so they were seeing a lot of people come to faith in Jesus. And make a note of this too. The Lord added to their number. The Lord did that. The Lord did that. Okay? Okay? And yes, the Lord used people. But let me just say this: we got to get the hierarchy right. If God doesn't do something in somebody's heart, nothing's going to happen. If God's not working, you can give the perfect gospel presentation, right? And nobody's going to come to faith. But you know what? If God is working, you can say Mary had a little lamb, and they'll get saved right there. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. If God's not doing something, nothing's going to happen. So we need to pray constantly for the people that God has around us, that we'd be able to be a light there and love on them and share our lives with them and let them into our lives so they can see that we're not perfect, but we love Jesus and He loves them and wants to have a relationship with them, right? And so we need to see that it's the Lord. The Lord added to their number. The Lord did it through the preaching of the word of the apostles. The Lord did it through the everyday witness of the Christians as they went about their daily lives. The Lord did it through the life of love the believers expressed toward one another. But the Lord did it. Okay? And I love that because you know what? The pressure's off, man. I ain't got to sell nothing to nobody. Okay? All I have to do is be who God made me to be, love on people, and share the gospel, and the rest is up to God. The rest is up to God. But I do need to do that. And that's the thing. That takes effort, and that takes intentionality, because it does say this was happening daily. Daily. You know, sharing. The believers did not see sharing their faith as some occasional activity. Some occasional thing. It's something that they were doing on a regular basis, just daily, you know, just as, you know, and okay, so, you know, it doesn't have to be. I think sometimes some people think that, you know, that being a witness, you're just simply sharing about what God is doing in your life. It doesn't have to be like a full gospel presentation every time you sit down with somebody. It's often like hundreds of little conversations, right? That's what it is. I mean, yeah, it's great, you know, to be able to do that sometimes, where you can actually, you know, like Charlie shared with us a few weeks ago about how to actually share the gospel, you know, in a few minutes. But oftentimes, you know, through relationship, it's just going to be an ongoing conversation now. But we do need to get there. We do need to get there in terms of sharing the gospel. And so this was happening daily. And the witnessing was as continuous as was their worship. Okay? The witnessing was as continuous as their worship. And let me just summarize this by one thing. I really liked, there was a guy that wrote a commentary here on this aspect of church life, and his name is John Stott. And he says this, and I liked the summary. He says, looking back over these marks of the church, and they're ones that we actually hit on here, same ones, says they really have to do with believers' relationships. They really, you can link all these four things back to believers' relationships. It says the first is they were related to the apostles, you know, in that there was a relationship between the apostles' teaching, right? And so they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching. And secondly, they were related to each other, right? They loved each other. It was a caring and sharing church. And thirdly, they related to God through worship. They related to God through worship in the breaking of bread and the prayers. And actually, it even says with joy, right? They were praising God, right? And then lastly, they were related to the world around them. They didn't pull up and become monastic somewhere and, just waiting for Jesus to come back. No, they related to everybody around them, right? And they reached out in witness. And so a healthy church is a gospel-sharing church, all right? Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just this wonderful model church here, the first century church, and not a perfect church. We know that. They had plenty of problems, but they had some things right. And these four things that are mentioned there in Acts 2, Lord, help us to not only try to be better at balancing them as a church-wide, but also just as individuals. Help us, Lord, to be learners. Help us to be caring. Help us to be worshiping, even in the privacy of our home and our times with you, really connecting with you. And then help us, Lord, to be gospel-sharing people and loving people and not being afraid to talk about God. Lord, make us bold and loving, Lord. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.